Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I'm joined by the discus thrower, Rich Stambolian.
I'm more of a shot put guy myself.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a discus guy.
I like the shot put. I'm a javelin man.
Big time javelin thrower.
Big time javelin thrower. Oh, you have no idea.
Can someone explain to me how someone gets involved in the javelin? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How does someone say, like, listen, I'm an athlete. I'm going to take this really long-ass stick that's totally unnaturally long, and now I'm going to stick it in the sand and leap over. How does someone decide that that's something they want to get into?
You're thinking of the pole jump.
The pole jump. Isn't that a javelin?
The javelin is the spear.
The spear, okay.
Part of the decathlon is okay. Discus,
pole vaulting,
javelin.
Pole vaulting is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Javelin too. I could do without both. I don't care for either.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's the ancient times, man. Like, you had to see how far you could throw a spear accurately. You know?
I could throw a spear. Guaranteed.
Oh yeah. Let's have a spear off. Let's get a couple of javelins. Go to the park across the street from the studio and see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Guys, this show is all about professional wrestling, not javelins or pole vaulting. A lot of news over the last, I guess, 48 hours to report on. I guess we have notes, courtesy to MG Geek. He made the notes. Before we go into the show, I want to thank everybody for all the support over the last couple of weeks. The numbers have been through the freaking roof, and I truly appreciate that. If you're watching this live, head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/MattMenPodcast. You could head on over there, watch us live, join the chat, join the conversation. We're also on Twitch right now. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere you could possibly imagine for us to be streaming live. Also, we have a great Patreon. If you enjoy the show, you can show your support by joining our Patreon. As little as $1 per month goes a long way for us. It pays the beer for these watch-alongs. It pays for the food that we order for these watch-alongs. And it's always great to have, you know, everybody involved and it not costing too much money to do these six-hour watch-alongs that we end up doing here. Almost every other week now at this point with all the pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Let me open these notes and see where we're going to go because I really want to do this in order. SummerSlam Fallout. What did you think of SummerSlam, Rich?
It was okay. You know, like, I don't think it was, like, the best thing in the world, but it also wasn't the worst. And again, I'm biased because I had a lot of fun watching it with you and Mr. Gonzo and Jonathan all in the headset, you know?
Yeah, so we, you came in the studio, which was cool. And then on Saturday, I did a show with Harry. Harry Tarjanian came by. We did NXT together in the studio. The experience is totally different when you do it with somebody else. When you're watching with people, you're having a very different reaction rather than sitting on Twitter and tweeting all these things. Mm. You know, it's very different, and I enjoy doing it, but I do think sometimes it skews my reaction towards the positive rather than kind of falling a little neutral. I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way. I feel like I'm a little bit more positive when I watch it with people.
100%. Like, if I, like, you know, those times where, like, we're like, oh, let's do a watch along, and then something happens during the day, and we're like, you know what, we got to skip it tonight, but let's tweet. It's definitely a different, it's more of a chore. You know, like my wife's not going to watch this shit with me. So, you know, I'm like kind of like on my couch by myself, like with my thumbs on my phone, like Roman Reigns is the big dog. Check it out. -R or whatever, you know, whatever I do. But it's more fun, clearly, when you're with people. And, you know, I had a great time on Sunday.
Yeah, I did, too. It was a lot of fun. So we'll do a little quick recap because I don't want to. It was Sunday and now we're, you know, a long time away from that. Roman Reigns, the big story was the return of Roman Reigns in the main event, attacking both Bray and Braun. Braun was on the outside. He got attacked. Bray was on the inside, and he celebrating, and he got jumped by Roman. And this brought on the conversation, and I have no idea why. A lot of people within the wrestling media, not even wrestling media, ESPN and all these, I think it was Sports Illustrated, actually. Let me correct that. They were saying how this is the Roman Reigns turn that people have been waiting for. How did anybody get a Roman Reigns turn?
He came out and did Roman Reigns shit.
I mean, was that a turn? Did you think it was a turn?
No, not at all. I think it was him coming back to establish dominance for the SmackDown brand, and now he's going to feud with both these guys, which I enjoy. And we also call that on the show. Did you expect the teeth?
The teeth were a lot. What did you think of it?
I was like, I didn't really see the fallout of the teeth until the next day, where everybody was like, Roman's back, and so are his teeth.
I don't know why people were so like it. Like, I'm like, so what? The dude got caps. He got veneers. So what? Who cares? Yeah. He went and fixed his teeth. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that? Why is that such a topic?
Exactly. I'm also calling BS though, because remember, like, the day of the pay-per-view, WWE kept tweeting out shit like, something you'll never expect is gonna happen. And we're like, the Roman return that everybody expected?
Yeah.
It's so weird when they do shit like that, because I wanted something like completely bonkers, right?
Well, they have, WWE lacks any ability to actually do a surprise. Like, they'll ruin their surprise prior on their own doing, because they just can't keep a secret. It's the worst company in the world to keep a secret. Because they'll be like, you know, something big's happening. I'm not telling you, but there's something big, like a dog, you know, like something ridiculous. So Roman healer face. It was a face move, dude. There was nothing that happened. They set up for payback, which, by the way, we have another pay-per-view on Sunday. Are we doing a watch along, Rich?
Yeah. I have a lot going on this weekend, so it's going to be like a clutch thing. I might do it from here. I might do it from there.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen.
You keep me posted. I'll be live for this. Alexa was left out of the main event, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess they're teasing to something. They're working the feud with Sasha and Bayley, where Asuka beat Sasha but didn't beat Bayley, and Bayley didn't help Sasha. And then even in the rematch on Monday, they kind of botched that. They didn't really do a good job at making Bayley blatantly not, you know, helping Sasha or costing Sasha.
Right.
There was also no Retribution on the pay-per-view, and I was just given the names of the members in Retribution.
But they could be stand-ins, right?
Well, they could be stand-ins. They could not be stand-ins. Dave Meltzer posted that Shane Thorne, Dominic Dijakovic, Mia Yim, Chelsea Green, Caden Carter, and Dio Madden are at Retribution. But I don't know if this is the actual Retribution or what was presented last week or Monday, I guess.
Right.
Kind of anticlimactic, is it not?
A little bit, but I think both of us suspected Dijakovic. Right?
I mean, that's a big dude, but I get it, fine. He's fine, but what why are they so angry? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would they be the angry? Why are they the ones seeking Retribution? Retribution for what? Given an opportunity?
It kind of makes no sense. But then again, what makes sense that WWE does? So my whole thing with them is, I think a couple of them are going to be like legit, like Dijakovic, definitely, right? Okay. Mia Yim, I would say yes, because, you know, she's with Keith Lee, and why not bring both of them to the main roster, right? As far as the other people, Chelsea Green's a good one, but I think the last two members should be Ciampa and Gargano.
So the other thing is that there is a higher power to this group.
Oof.
And which we don't know yet, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the interesting thing. Listen, I'm looking at this on paper, right? We saw what happened with Nexus. I think the Nexus concept was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was such a great idea for an invasion that we hadn't seen in a very long time. I don't know why I keep falling out of center here. I keep moving. I keep trying to fix it. I'm just going to sit like this. it's driving me nuts. I've corrected it like six times, and I've made you stall. I was like, yeah, what else, Rich? You know?
What else? What else, bud?
So, I feel like, okay, fine. Dijakovic, fine. Mia Yim, why is she seeking Retribution? Her boyfriend, he's not seeking Retribution. He's the biggest babyface this company has seen in a very long time.
True.
He's like a pure babyface. So, okay, well, that's tainted. Chelsea Green, okay, why? Caden Carter, Dio Madden, like, I guess Dio Madden, I can see why he's seeking Retribution.
Because he got beat up by Brock Lesnar.
Because he got beat up by Brock Lesnar, but nobody else. Listen, you know what I'm thinking? This is how I see it, okay? We saw Wade Barrett return on NXT.
Cool.
As a commentator. Very mm-hmm. cool. I've always thought that this guy was given a really bad hand.
Yes.
Very talented. Great on the mic. Very talented. The King Barrett stuff that he was doing, right? Wasn't he King Barrett?
Yes.
Okay, right?
Wasn't he the King of Bad News?
King of Bad News, yeah, yeah.
He was, at one point?
Yeah, Bad News Barrett. What a stupid gimmick, but he made it work. And I think this all goes back to how they flip-flopped on Nexus so heavy. And that made so much sense to have all these young up-and-comers coming in and effing things up and saying, guys, it's our turn. Enough of this. I thought that was really compelling. Instead, you know, they had the Daniel Bryan chokeout moment. They made him softer. You had John Cena get involved with him and join him. Then CM Punk took over. Then Summer of Punk happened and totally forgot about the whole thing. They split the core. It was just so stupid how they did it. Now you have an option. What if it is Wade Barrett getting revenge on what happened with Nexus?
I would really enjoy that, to be honest, if he was just a mouthpiece for Retribution, you know, and if they pitch that to him, that's cool. The thing I think with this is this could be one of those Vince tests where it's, okay, Nexus, great debut, right? Yeah. Bunch of hungry young guys. Daniel Bryan clearly is going to be the breakout because he already was like the king of the indies, right?
Well, it was Barrett and him were going to be the breakouts, right?
Right. And then I'm going to go back to the Shield where you had almost three unknowns debuting in such a way that they did. And it worked so well.
You know, by the way, let me interrupt there. You said something very interesting, that they were three unknowns, right? I think it's fascinating how Seth Rollins and Ambrose were virtually unknown to the WWE audience.
Exactly.
Because Ambrose never was in NXT.
He was in they were all FCW guys.
FCW. Except for, well, I think Ambrose and Reigns were never in NXT, but Tyler Black was. Seth Rollins was.
First NXT champion.
But nobody was watching NXT at that point. It was virtually unknown. So you're right. There were three unknown guys that they manufactured and put him in this role, and it freaking was a home run.
It worked. It worked. So, but also look at like something like The Core, which didn't work, and League of Nations, which could have worked.
The League of Nations was the best. The only moment that I remember from that, the best moment, is when Rusev is breaking the screens, and Vince like kind of tells him to stop doing it, and he hugs Vince, and they give each other like this huge hug. That was the best moment. I think it was the Royal Rumble, right? A couple years ago?
Yeah.
Best moment.
So you have like those factors coming in. I'm not going to poo-poo on it until I see what it is. Honestly, like I'm a big supporter of Dijakovic. I've always liked the guy since he was Dominic Dijak in Ring of Honor.
Why did they make his name harder?
Exactly. Who's Donovan Dijak, and then they were like, Dominic Dijakovic.
It's not ethnic enough. He's Croatian, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's something like Tony that. Kukoc, the Pink Panther. Exactly.
It's a bloody D-back.
D-back. He played for the Lakers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, my 90s memory of basketball is pretty good.
90s basketball, baby.
90s basketball. That's all we talk about. Rich and I just hang out and we talk about Luke Longley.
Oh, my God.
And Bill Winnington. Bill Winnington and Luke Longley, that's all we talk about. And Chris Mullen.
And Chris Webber.
Yeah, all the Chris's. Chris Webber. I don't know. I'm hopeful that they do something. We'll see tonight, right, on SmackDown, what they're going to do. Because we're getting close to some unveil. And you're noticing that certain people are in the same role every week. Now, I'm not convinced that this final number that Dave is suggesting is final. Is accurate. I'm just going to say that. I'm not convinced. Okay. I know a lot of people are, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just not convinced of it because these names are just strange to me. Like Caden Carter and Chelsea Green. First of all, it's a lot of women. It's three women, three men, right?
Yeah.
So how are you going to split this up? How are the women going to be involved in this? Like Mia Yim is very compelling as a face. I don't understand her playing this heel role when we've been kind of, she's an underdog, you know, we root for her.
Yeah.
Very good worker.
Right, right. I think if they do the real reveal properly, and then they have like not necessarily matching gear, but a matching theme with their gear, and a good promo will definitely rocket them to where they want to be, right?
Yeah, like Shane Thorne, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah, he's been there forever, man, because his boy got hurt and left, right?
Yeah, and that tag team was a disaster.
Unfortunately, because they were the indie darlings, and we were so excited when they got signed, and it just seemed like WWE did not give a shit.
Mm-mm. No, I don't know what happened. I think that they were hurt, and they had a very difficult time adjusting to that. They were tremendous on the independents and in New Japan. I really enjoyed them, and then nothing happened. Which is bizarre. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with this. We also saw Sonya Deville. She's taking some time out.
Yes.
The match was supposed to be a shave your head match. Loser shaves her head. And thank God somebody decided that that's a terrible idea for Sonya to do. So they decided that it's a loser leaves town match. And Sonya lost, so she's off of SmackDown. Big possibility she's showing up on Raw after a couple of weeks.
Right. Or back to NXT.
Maybe. I don't know. I put her on Raw, man. She's one of those that would do better on the main roster than on NXT. And there's only a few of those that I feel. What did you think of Keith Lee's debut?
I was happy. I think his song is whack. And
oh my God.
That gear is weird. Can we talk about how, like, apparently now, I mean, you touched on it last week about how there's that mandate where they're trying to get talent to ditch the themes written by CFO because they're having that issue with their publisher.
So you said that to me. You said that a couple of weeks ago, right?
They're ditching the CFO stuff because I thought they fired them.
It was a dispute with I think Columbia Records that they're signed with, and that's why. Mm-hmm. But you are 100% correct. There is an effort to ditch all those themes, which sucks.
Which sucks for Keith Lee because, you know, that was such a great theme, and you kind of wanted him to debut with that theme and maybe some new updated gear. But whatever the F that was, man, I was not feeling it.
Yeah, you know what it looked like? Ladies' PJs. Like, it was like a ruffly bottom. I think him and Samoa Joe should have a feud on who has the worst outfit, the worst bottoms.
Oh, I love Samoa Joe's fighting trunks.
Disgusting. You know how dirty those things are?
They're probably like, I feel like he's got enough that he seems like a clean guy. I think he'd wash them.
I think they're filthy. I think everybody's ring gear just smells. You know what it smells like? Earthquake. When I think of smelly ring gear, all I think of is the natural disasters, earthquake and typhoon.
Oh yeah, those guys were funky,
stinky gear.
How did you feel? How did you feel about the whole Keith Lee thing?
So his cadence is very unique on the way he speaks. Right, his speech is very unique, and I think it's going to stand out. It's a little bit like how Kenny Omega would hack it up as like an anime villain.
Yes.
Which I don't hate, but I don't love either. I'm curious how it's going to work for him. Mm-hmm. The outfit didn't bother me as much. The shirt bothered me. The bottom didn't bother me as much. And the theme kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that took away anything. I also don't think his match with Randy Orton sucked. I thought it was pretty much a general display of a big guy going toe for toe with this legend.
Right.
I hope they continue more with this. I was told that he was not going to be feuding with Randy. Maybe they changed it after this week. I was told he was going to have a feud with somebody in the Hurt Club.
Ooh, okay. That's cool.
Again, that was like a month ago. So I don't know if now maybe they decided that, you know, there's a lot of pitched ideas that go around. I don't know how much where he should start. I think he should start on that level. You know, start feuding with someone in the Hurt Club and then build your way
up. Hurt
Business, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep calling them the Hurt Club. I want them to be the Hurt Club. My emotions are the Hurt Club.
You just want a club to root for.
I just want a club. I just like clubs. Clubbed feet, clubs, like nightclubs, strip clubs.
Bullet clubs.
By the way, did I tell you I got yelled at by some old lady for my Bullet Club shirt the other day?
Oh, really? What happened?
Oh man, I went to Poorhouse. Jeez, I went to Bourbon Street on Bell, and I was wearing my Bullet Club shirt, and this woman comes up. She goes, "That's extremely inappropriate."
Oh my god!
And I thought because I wasn't wearing a mask because I had just gotten out of the car, and I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Your shirt with everything going on." I said, "You know this is fucking wrestling." She just walked away in disgust.
Did you say that to her?
Yeah, just like that.
Lady, this is fucking wrestling. And then he DDT'd. Like, cut an Eddie Kingston promo on her and then DDT'd her.
I'm like, it's an effing wrestling shirt. It's not a political stance, you dummy.
Lady, this shirt is more real than anything you'd ever do in your life.
And then I screamed at the top of my lungs something that I can't say on the show.
Did you call her an old bag of bones?
Dusty old bones? No, I told her to suck it, but not in those terms. As loud as I possibly could in the middle of the street, in middle of broad daylight, 11:45 in the morning, I'm screaming this at somebody.
Were you like, what are you, an L.I.J. fan? What are you, like, chaos? Bullet Club for life, dude. And then you kick her.
And then I kicked her right in the face. So, you have no idea what my days are like.
I've been with you.
You've been with me. I lose my mind.
I've been with you.
You got to ask. Okay, I got to get Lauren on the show. One of my coworkers. She comes into chat room. Lauren Camaletti comes in here. I took her out to. I gave her a promotion, and I took her out to lunch. And I got into the biggest screaming match with these two old broads sitting at a bar, because they pretty much told me to F off because they were hearing my conversation and they didn't like that. And it was nothing. It was just like business talk. And she's like, we're in the middle of a discussion. Can you please move that way? Because we were standing for a seat. And I go, no, you know what? Now I'm going to sit next to you. And I just kept calling them Upper East Side B-words that can't even afford to pay their bill. Look at them. It's embarrassing. They're paying with nickels and quarters. And I paid their bill. And I was like, no, it's embarrassing. You guys live on the Upper East Side and you can't even afford your coffee. And I berated them for like 20 minutes until they left.
Part of that's a lie. It wasn't a business talk. It's usually a pussy and balls. That's all you talk about.
That's pretty much it. So I don't know where we were. I just had a breakdown.
We were talking about your day, and then I want to interject and add one of those things, which I giggle every time I think about it. I think it was your birthday last year, and then when we went out, that was like that dude that followed us, and he was asking us where we were going. And then, like, we turn around, and he was, like, at the corner, and then he followed us into press. And then we were like, what's up with this guy? What's this guy looking for right now?
Dude followed us randomly, right? It was, like, a random guy.
And he stopped us and was like, hey, what do you guys do around here? What do you guys hang out around here?
Yeah, who does that?
That was very weird. I got very skeeved out. I felt like a kid. I felt like a little kid who was like, I don't know, Andrew, we should go home.
We should run and get on our bikes and go home and tell an adult.
Don't take this guy's candy. Don't take this guy's potato.
Keith Lee debuted. People were not too crazy about it. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they're a tag team now.
I like it.
You like it? I think it's fine.
I like it.
She called this woman Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah, that I fell off my couch laughing. That was hysterical.
I laughed so hard at that. So hard. That the fact that she even does she even know who Haystacks Calhoun is? I mean, that's a Vince joke, right? Vince had that was to pop Vince.
You think so? I think she does know who Haystacks Calhoun is. Shayna strikes me as like a student of the business. And that's such a good reference.
Oh, my God. It's such a good reference, dude. Such a good reference.
But I like the tag team. They should call themselves the Big Bad Ladies.
The Big Bad Ladies. I like that.
That's such a good name, right?
BBL.
Or on the pod on the watch along, I said that's a new tag team name for women could be Demolicious.
Demolicious, I like that.
Demolition, like that but with ladies, yeah. Or we like could just call ourselves Demolicious.
So, so that was Raw. I mean, I don't want to stick on that too much because the big news is what happened after the fallout of NXT Takeover. So, Karrion Kross, new NXT champion, beat beat Keith Lee in a very strange way. When we were watching it with Harry and everybody else, everybody was saying, like, that was a very awkward finish, how that match ended. He did a side... What did he do? He hit him with the a side suplex?
It's a second rope side Saito suplex.
Yeah, so it was a second rope Saito suplex, and then got the pin. Easy, in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
I did not expect that. That was a weird ending. I don't know if it had to do with that he got hurt, or that was the actual finish, or maybe it just looked weak because he was hurt. I don't know. But he won the title, and immediately everybody was saying, oh, he's hurt. Something happened. He dislocated the shoulder. Monday, was it Monday I got the message? I'll see. Let me see. I'll tell you when I got it. So somebody first told me he's hurt, and I said, okay, well, let's see what happens. Dislocated shoulder doesn't necessarily mean that you got to drop the belt and have this tremendously long recovery, but it's possible. So it was on the 26th, so 2 days ago. So that was, what, Wednesday. Wednesday, about 11 o'clock, 11:23, I'm texted by a very reliable guy, Killer Cross out half the year at least. He goes, but the fix is pretty dope. It's a mega match that's never been done before. A four-way, and here's the stipulation. It's an Iron Man four-way. I said, really? I said, yeah. It's going to be Adam Cole, Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano. Now, do you guys want the finish?
Oh, you have the finish?
I do have the finish.
Can you text me the finish?
Yeah.
Oh, please. I want to see what it is, and then we'll deliberate as whether or not. I feel like we shouldn't reveal it because it's like, it's pretty dope, dude.
So the finish is I think people are going to be happy with it. People would be happy with the finish. I thought I sent you this. I thought send you the finish. Yeah,
send
I did.
It to me.
Yeah.
When? On the
No, I sent it to you. No, I sent it to the other number. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you'll enjoy the finish, and it's going to make a lot of sense on how they do it and what they do. You just get it?
Hang on. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I was talking to yep, that's exactly what happens, Rich.
Okay. It's Hogan.
It's Hulk Hogan. Hogan comes out, becomes
crazy
NXT champion.
My title, brother.
It's my time now.
Crazy.
It's my time now, brother.
It comes out to Triple H's old theme song.
So I'll tell you one thing. Expect it to go into overtime.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. I mean, that's... it's going to be a weird ending. I don't know. Maybe I'll post it on Patreon or something. I wanted to record a video and post it on Patreon on what the finish
is.
So, again, he wrote 75% chance everything could change. But this was filmed on Thursday already. So this ending was filmed.
Okay.
They filmed this match. Cool. But think about
very
that,
excited.
Dude. These guys just had NXT TakeOver. They're there for tapings on Wednesday. And they're like, hey, by the way, you got to do a 60-minute match tomorrow.
Okay.
can you imagine? Like, Johnny Gargano almost broke his neck.
Oh, my God. Twice.
Everybody's banged up. Mm-hmm. Like, and now you got to do 60 minutes. You know, it takes conditioning to do a... But these guys are such pure, I mean, unbelievably conditioned for. I don't think anybody's going to suffer in this match. Just really sucks for Karrion Kross. But... Very excited about that next feud for him.
Exactly. I think that's going to be pretty dope. And I think without giving it away, you're going to see something that we've been waiting for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
If that feud goes forward.
Dude, if this feud happens, from what I'm being told, I'm very excited to see this match. Because it makes lot of sense.
Oh, 100%. It makes the most sense. You know what my favorite part of TakeOver was?
Where? What? Which one?
Candice LeRae on top of Bronson Reed doing the splash.
Oh, the
to
big
Johnny
splash
Gargano.
Off the top. Loved it.
Watched it like six times.
What if you put this match in a Hell in a Cell? Would that make more sense?
Oh, my God.
Would that
wait,
make
the,
more
the
sense?
60 man or the,
no, no,
the,
no.
the stuff that we're hinting at?
The stuff that we're hinting at.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be
right?
amazing.
That's the only way to do it. A Hell in a Cell match.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it could all change what I was told. Which, by the way, I did... Oh, people are like, I want the finish. I want the finish. I'm not going to ruin it for you. I'm not going to ruin it. But
I feel like we could, but then somebody in the chat room will say it and kind of mess it up for everybody, like as what usually happens.
I was talking to, so I sat Dwayne on the Regal. Story because I wanted to confirm with Sean Ross Sapp, and I messaged him, and this dude is the best, right? Like, I'm like, hey, got a few. He goes, yep, shoot it. And I told him everything. He's like, oh, interesting. I haven't heard this. So he's like, let me confirm. And I'm like, also, I'm hearing it's an Ironman match. He goes, oh, I haven't heard that at all. And he goes, wap, you were right. I said, so I batted 1,000 tonight. And he goes, man, you definitely did.
Very cool.
Hell yeah, you did. So it's sometimes you get this stuff and it's cool. You know, you kind of see it being put together. I just hope it goes the way that they're saying it's going to go.
I want to see what people's guesses are, though. Like, we're not going to spoil it, but if you're in the chat room right now, who do you think's winning this? Like, what? Give us the winner and the ending of
the match.
Yeah,
give us the winner and the ending. I'd love to see what you guys think or want to see happen. Yeah. So very sad for Karrion Kross. I thought this was going to be a good moment for him to shine. But in a weird way, you kind of protected him in the long run as the act for the act, you know, him being out a little bit. You slow down the smoke and mirrors still exists with him. You're just slowing down him finally losing or something like that. I thought this was a decent way, but terrible way to kind of go out. You know, the guy finally got his moment, finally got the chance. Everybody's super high on this guy. Like, everybody is super high on him. Ayaz in the chat says, winner, Adam Cole after Pat McAfee punts everyone else. Next NXT championship feud is Cole and McAfee. Ciampa wins. He scores the pin in overtime.
I like that. I like that result.
Yeah. What'll happen? We'll do Q&As at the end. We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do
Q&As at the end. I thought that was fine.
How did you feel about Pat McAfee's performance on Saturday?
The dude was phenomenal. The only thing that bothered me a little bit is that they were doing this whole thing about how this guy has never wrestled. He had like a week and a half to train. You know, the way they presented it is that he just came out of the NFL and he doesn't know how to do wrestling. I would have loved it if he cut a promo saying like, hey, you idiots, I bought a ring. I have a wrestling ring at home. I was trained by Rip Rogers. We talked about this. Like, I would have loved that if he cut that promo and was like, I've been training for months. And I thought it was done well, man. I thought he looked great. His lockups sucked, but his punches were ridiculously good.
That backflip, all the flips were great. That big senton off the top rope was awesome.
Tremendous. Tremendous. And and it looked even better because he's not a wrestler. So I think there was a moment, there was more realism in it, which I loved. I thought it was very well done. My expectations were very low for that match, and it was a great surprise. Very good surprise.
Yeah, it was a fun event. And you had Damian Priest winning the North American Championship, which I thought was a lot of fun. I liked him jumping right from the ring in his ring gear into the pool with the babes.
Yeah, so is that his gimmick? He's like a babe guy now?
I think he's a babe guy now. That's good. Why not?
Make him a babe guy. Why not?
He's a babe guy.
Yeah, do it. He loves his babes. Do you want to go into AEW?
Yes, sir.
Circle back. So AEW had a live audience last night. They were live last night, opposed to being on Wednesday because of everything that's going on with the NBA schedule. Interestingly enough, the NBA went on a temporary strike. They refused to play on Wednesday, so AEW really didn't need to be moved, but they did move. NXT did 800 and something thousand viewers, pretty good, unopposed. Nah. You know, they didn't have that big NBA game to go against them, so that was fine. I still believe that they need to switch days permanently. There's no reason why you need to pick a side and pick a show to watch. Put them on another day and have both brands do well. I think
right.
You know, NXT is hurting way more with competing with AEW than AEW is hurting competing with NXT because the bar was set pretty low for AEW's viewership with virtually unknown talent. But on the NXT side, you know, they had an established product that you took away eyeballs from and kind of slowed the momentum. So I think moving them eventually, I know that they're going to run a couple shows in October on different days. So we'll see what happens with that. What did you think of AEW overall?
overall, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun 2 hours. Very, very tight show. Really great promo from MJF. I thought it was super cool that Mox is the number one PWI pro wrestler person on the planet.
PWI wrestler of the year.
Number
one on the who's the top 10? Do you have the top 10 by any chance?
I don't, but the top three were Mox, Adam Cole, and Jericho.
You know what? Honestly, I would say that's a great assessment.
There were a couple. Let me see if I can look this up. There were a couple. I got it. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Top 10. AJ Styles, 10. I'm going backwards.
Okay.
Kofi, number 9.
Okay.
Seth, number 8.
Okay.
And then the top 7, Cody.
Okay.
Okada.
Okay.
Naito,
mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre, Jericho, Adam Cole, and Mox.
Wow, so Kenny Omega's not on this. In the top
Kenny
10.
Omega ranked 13.
You know what? Very honestly, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment.
13. Yeah. Braun ranked number 18, which I feel like that's just like a weird...
Is it too high or too little?
I think too high, in my opinion.
Too high.
Yeah, but Jacob Fatu was made number 20.
Okay.
Which is cool.
He's had a good year.
Keith Lee's number 11, Brock at number 12. But like, you know, like that top 10 is ridiculous. Like I agree Cody definitely should be in the top 10. Drew, you know.
Where was Drew again? What number?
I think he was 4.
He was number 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, so AEW had 700 people in the audience yesterday. Tony Khan came out and told everybody, hey, listen, make sure you keep your masks on before the show. Causes a stir, by the way, which I want to talk about. Tony Khan pre-show came out and said, hey guys, listen, do me a favor, keep your masks on, make sure you're social distancing, and please don't curse. No F words, no holy S. And that they're trying to keep the show clean because it's the first show with an audience and they want to mic the audience stronger. So they can't mask the chants. It's cable, but they were told, listen, we kind of want to keep control of the audience, right?
Right, right.
So he went out and said that. I think Ryan Satin came out and said, oh, what's the difference between this and WWE telling their viewers to cheer, you know, the people in the audience, how to cheer and who to boo? And I'm like, first of all, why? I don't. Do you have an issue with WWE telling the virtual fans how to cheer and boo?
I don't care, to be honest with you. I think, like, if you're signing up to watch a WWE show, at this point, you're excited to see it. So that kind of doesn't bother me. And also, like, it's kind of common sense where it's like, all right, listen, like, this is kind of how it has to be now. What they should have done is they should have said, hey, listen, don't post pictures of Chris Benoit or KKK guys.
I mean, first of all, I think it just shows you how deranged people are, really. Like,
oh yeah, forget it.
We have lost it as a society. People are really off the freaking wall. One guy had a KKK image, a guy in a KKK outfit. Another guy had, like you said, Chris Benoit. There was a couple other ones too. Like, it wasn't the only two. There was a couple other issues with what people were doing. But here's how I see this. I have no... It's a TV show. WWE's doing their best to give people the experience that they think people should have. Cheering and booing to coincide with a piped-in sound makes sense, right? They're telling you to do... Because, why are people saying, like, oh, this is so... This is a dictatorship, WWE controlling, and this and that, and then they try to blame AEW. Dude, it's a freaking TV product. Let them narrate it the way they want it to narrate. And once we have a live audience, you can yell and boo and cheer whoever you want. But this is, they're trying to put things over. You as the fan are helping them get the message over. I don't see the big deal with it. People like, they're telling people what to do and how to. Yeah, you know what? You're in their audience. You have all the right. You have all the right to, as a company to tell them what to do. You go to any studio recording and they tell you when to cheer and they tell you when to boo.
Exactly. There's an applause sign for a reason.
My God, like, everybody's flipping out over that. Dude, I get it. Like, some people don't want to do it. Then you don't have to be in the audience. If you're that, your convictions, convictions, convec,
Convictions
are that strong, then you don't want to be there.
Well, that's I got all? A question for you.
Yes, sir.
What are the, like, do you have to pay to be on Thunderdome, or is it like you have to just sign up?
Sign up. I believe MG Geek will be in the audience for the Sunday pay-per-view.
Oh, I hope you have two big cardboard cutouts of our heads with you.
He doesn't, but another viewer does.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Just like, dude, it's like every other show. So whatever. It's fine. It is what it is. Why are we so nitpicky? Why are we so nitpicky? Like, dude,
because everything's handed to this new modern society.
I hate this new modern society. I want to go back. I want to eliminate all this. I want to go back 20 years. It's over.
Is this your part of your midlife crisis?
Yeah, that's why I bought a Mustang. That's why I bought a Mustang. I've lost my mind. I want to go back to my youth. My youth. What is a youth?
What's your ideal year to be in?
Pre 9/11, 2001.
Okay, interesting.
Pre 9/11. 2000,
a lot of new metal.
A lot of new metal. Music was still cool. Rock and roll was still on the radio here in New York. 92.3 was going on. Howard Stern was on the radio. We were still in that weird MTV, You're Not My Mom generation of aggression. Okay. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. I want to go back to 2000, 2001.
I like I has
pre
9/11 to you.
Oh, like back when being brown was just weird. You know what's crazy now? I'm considered brown, which I genuinely appreciate. I am. I told you that story, right?
It's just because you tan real hard.
I tan really hard, dude.
Tan real hard, bro.
I was talking to somebody and they're like, yeah, but you're not white. I'm like, what do you think I am?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're not white. I'm like, you're assuming what I am based on a skin tone, I guess. It's like how you're not white, Rich.
Sure.
None of us. We're just one blended mesh of color.
Have you seen what I look like?
No, I've never seen you before, dude.
Do you got racial dysplasia instead of facial dysplasia?
I have racial dysplasia. I just see the opposite race on everybody. That's how it works. I wonder if that's a thing. Somebody in the world has to have racial dysplasia where they don't see any color. They mix up all the races. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. It's like the lottery balls just spinning. You just pick one.
Where are we at right now?
We are at AEW last night. I thought it was a good show. Not a great
show. It was
fun. Jericho on commentary is phenomenal.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, Jericho on commentary is really good. JR was good. I'm curious what happened to Excalibur. He was there.
True. Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows,
he was there.
Man.
He was supposed to be back today, and they pulled him for whatever reason. They put Jericho in.
Wow. You know what I really liked?
Hmm.
I like Eddie Kingston's new group.
Dude, love him. So good.
He's awesome. Sonny Kiss, man. He delivered yesterday.
Sonny Kiss?
In that tag match. Like, I think that was the best we've seen him. That team of Sonny Janela. Kiss, Joey Janela. Griff Garrison, is that the dude's name?
Griff Garrison, Joey
Pillman
Janela,
Jr.
And who? Tony Jr.?
Pillman Jr.
Pillman Jr., yeah, Pillman Jr. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good team. I actually love Excalibur, Jesus, because I just read it, Bob Hazelwood's post. I think the Janela and Sonny Kiss Bizarro alliance is really
still
cool.
Good.
Really well done. I think it's just two weird people from Jersey.
Yeah, just a bunch of Jersey dudes hanging.
It's just a bunch of Jersey dudes.
How'd you like that MJF promo?
He's freaking phenomenal. He's great. He's so good.
It's good stuff.
What do you think? Okay, here's a question for you, okay, about MJF, right? Okay. He's fascinating to me because he's a decent worker, right? But would you say his promos are better than his in-ring?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's
saying something, right? Because his in-ring is solid. But he's such a unbelievable promo where you really dislike this guy. Like, the heat that I feel when he's cutting a promo, it's no longer, my God, this kid is good. It's, oh, my God, I hate him. But that's what you need, right? That's the feeling that you want. He's really refined as a promo. But, however, you notice that he got a little nervous with Moxley yesterday.
Well, of course.
He was a little nervous. He's very Piper-esque, which mm-hmm. is refreshing. I'm curious where they go with him with this feud. You know, does this loss mm-hmm. to Moxley, if he does lose, does it hurt him or does it do nothing to him? Or does beating Moxley do something? You know, MJF is their world champion. Is he the guy to represent him? Because I know for a fact they want names holding that title. They want established stars
right.
for the time being holding that title. That's why Chris Jericho was their first champion and not Hangman, which was the right call. It's the pedigree, yeah. MJ, you know, obviously Moxley's next, but who's next? You know, you got the Cody's, which Cody's not going to get it for a little bit. Is it going to be Kenny Omega? Is it going to be, you know, who's next?
It's tough, man. I don't think Mox is losing, but I think Lance Archer should step up and they should have like a ridiculous feud because they're rebuilding Lance Archer again.
Yeah.
Right. I think the thing they did last night was cool where you had the Taz, what are the Taz things like Team Taz?
Team Taz. Yeah.
Team Taz and then Jake Roberts and Lance Archer. Or Mox loses and he goes right into a tag team with Lance Archer and they become the tag champs. Cause like that roster is so much fun that you can rotate on yeah. anyone.
And here's the thing though, right? I think in a weird way, and this is just, it's a live mm-hmm. thought. So maybe it makes no sense to anybody except for me. I think holding that title in AEW is a detriment to the matches that you could possibly have.
Okay. Why?
Because you now, like, Moxley can't have a feud with, you know, Lance Archer where he loses.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that, it can't happen. Because he needs to win.
Yeah. Maybe they should just keep him on top for the next year.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know.
That crowd reaction was awesome.
The crowd, who? For who?
For Mox.
Yeah, for Mox, yeah, he's phenomenal. But he's going to have to lose. I mean, it's just going to have to happen.
At some point. But who do they pull the trigger on? Is it going to be MJF, Kenny, Pac when he comes back? Pac?
Oh, yeah, he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot he's around. I forgot he's going to come back.
There's so many dudes right now that they could mess around with, but also their tag division is so stacked that it's a nice little program where you're getting, like, crazy tag stuff and then really good single stuff, and it could go either way. But yes, I agree that, you know, because they're on TNT, they probably want like a more of a draw holding that yeah. main belt, right?
Yeah, I think it does. It the belt limits the storyline telling for the opponent, not the champion, because, you know, okay. my God, like a bloodbath between, and I don't necessarily mean an actual bloodbath, but like a really heavy feud between Lance Archer and Moxley makes a lot of sense. The same thing, by the way, I do want to say my favorite guy on the show yesterday was mm-hmm. Brody Lee.
Yes.
Brody Lee has established himself as such a captivating character in this new role. And this is a guy that never spoke in WWE. Mm-hmm. Think about it. I want people to just to compare, forget about him in the indies as Brody Lee, right? Forget about that era. Forget about right, any of right. that. Let's take the two TV character that was established. Yeah, Brody, you have Brody Lee uh-huh. of today, and you have the WWE version of him as Luke yeah, Harper.
Yeah.
What a contrast, right?
Yeah, like he's one of those weird examples of, well, we have a big guy that could talk, but let's not let him talk and be a little on the goofy side, right? I think he hit his stride when he did the IC champ stuff and he was feuding with Ambrose.
Did he speak and then, when he did that? Did he cut? No. I mean, nothing, right? Barely.
He was doing like the Southern guy shtick. But this is such an FU to WWE where it's like, yo, this guy's got a faction. He's the boss. He's got that TNT title. He's cutting promos every week and they're good. You know, it's not like he's shitty on the mic. The dude's yeah. great on the mic, you know,
phenomenal. Very, you believe that he what he says he believes. It's not a lie. Yeah, yeah. This is coming from him. I'm very impressed by him. I think that was one of the, if you're talking about a WWE guy that went over, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's going to shine. Outside of obviously the Moxley, you know, Moxley. That he's going to be in a big time picture as a heel and very, very captivating. Is he a main event draw on his own? I don't know, but really good upper tier act right now.
Absolutely.
For AEW.
And I'm also feeling the Dark Order more than I ever have been, because I think with him as leader and the bits that they're doing and the promos that they're doing, it works a lot better than when it was with just Evil Uno, and they kind of, like, they were more on the goofy side. You know, they're still goofy.
They're still goofy, but he beats the shit out of them.
Right. I think Cardona is the only one that still has that, like, that WWE funk on him.
That takes a while, man. Cody had that, remember? We saw Cody right after WWE, and he was struggling to adapt his style. Do you remember, like, his first match in Japan? And how there was such a contrast,
yeah,
in his wrestling, because he was still changing over from the WWE do's and don'ts to, you know, actually wrestling and having something unique. I think he's hit that point at this point, but it takes a little bit of while. I think Cardona is gonna have it even more, because that's all he's ever done, right? Is WWE,
right?
That's all he knows. Dude, he looks like $1 million, though, huh?
Oh my God, so tan. My wife yesterday was like, wow, he's so tan.
Dude is looking great. So it looks like he's going to be feuding with Brody Lee.
I'm cool with that. I like the that whole bit where Scorp showed up and Dustin and Matt Cardona showed up was cool. The Scorp thing I find interesting, because I feel like he's the one who should take that title off of Brody Lee.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know.
And my pick for the Battle Royal? Cody.
Cody's your pick for the... I think he's out for a little bit. I don't think he's going to be around. Pick for the Battle Royal. I think Archer's good. I don't know. I got to see who's in that. And obviously, we're going to get some surprises, right? For the Battle Royal?
I think so. I think you're going to get a couple of big surprises.
Roman Reigns, dude. Can you imagine?
Well, who's around? You have Rusev and Rowan.
Big Rowan's dudes. Around. Rusev's around. I don't know.
And it looks like they're doing. You're seeing the trickle in of NWA talent, right? With Thunder Rosa,
Nick Aldis.
That'd be great. A couple of the dudes on that roster, I think, would be a lot of fun. I mean, like, Kingston may have paved the way for that, because Kingston was on NWA TV for a bit. Colt Cabana was on NWA TV for a bit. I want to say Ricky Starks, but I might be wrong.
Ricky Starks, yeah, he's an NWA guy.
So I think, like, that merger would be kind of cool, and I think that Thunder Rosa Hikaru Shida match is going to be dope.
Tim Storm. Imagine Tim Storm.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so yeah. I do think that we should talk about that a little bit, that NWA relationship that's building. Billy Corgan did a voiceover for AEW TV, talking about, you know, Thunder Rosa. I'm curious if there is a work relationship. I think Tony Khan is such a fan of wrestling, where maybe that's why this is happening, because I know that he's a fan of Billy Corgan's, and maybe they had to sit down and, like, hey, let's get some of you guys on TV and do something. And now there's going to be a work relationship that, like, you brought it up a couple weeks ago. Aldis Cody 3 would be a tremendous match.
Absolutely.
Tremendous match, which I would love to see. And it would give the NWA a nice little rub, and it's not really a threat. And there's tremendous amounts of talent on that roster. Put him on TV. I truly believe that we will see these guys on AEW TV. I don't know what the NWA TV situation is right now. I think they're going to be on Fight right now. They're filming like 2-3 months worth of TV on Fight. So, and they're like weekly pay-per-views. I think it's like $1 pay-per-view or whatever they're going to do.
Oh, wow.
To watch it. Or it might be free on Fight. I don't know. But they were going to do the weekly pay-per-view model on Fight. Listen, it might
That's
work
cool,
out
man.
For them.
It's very gonna different. Be fun.
Yeah. Very different from the time that Jarrett did it, you know, with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Maintain. I feel like Corgan is smart enough to maintain an open relationship with whoever.
Yeah. Also, what did you think of the Kyle O'Reilly tease?
That he may eventually turn?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all. I think anything with Undisputed is just going to be a red herring.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm not going to speculate on that yet. I don't know what they're doing with that. But I'd love to see O'Reilly and Cole again.
Yes.
Their feud was tremendous.
That would be cool, but again, I don't think anything's happening with those dudes, you know?
Yeah.
Ayaz had a good joke in the chat room where he said the Dark Order is already on WWE TV as Retribution.
Can you imagine? You know what Ayaz does whenever I see him? He makes me pull his finger. He does pull my finger jokes all the time.
But then when you pull it, he just kisses you.
He just kisses me. Right on the cheek. Right on the cheek. Guys, it's time for art. What?
That's not what I heard.
Maybe something else. I don't want to say it. It's a family show today. Guys, it's time for our Q&A segment. In our chat room, if you're in our chat on YouTube, ask your questions in there. If you're not in our YouTube chat, if you're watching live on any of the other platforms, head on over to youtube.com/MattMenPodcast. Join the chat room there. We're live right now. Also, if you listen to the podcast, you can submit your questions to us on Twitter or join the live chat whenever, you know, we're live. Try to make it. You can submit your chat questions in the chat. So we're going to give you guys a few seconds to do that. Also, early this morning, breaking news that Bullet Bob Armstrong passed away. Road Dogg sent a tweet out. We posted that he had passed away. Wrestling legend, legendary wrestling family, the Armstrongs. Bullet Bob passed away. So our thoughts are with them. All right. Let's get the questions going. Chat room, what do you have for us? Anything?
We got one thing from Anthony JCP. What are the chances of Aldis versus What are the chances of Aldis versus Mox in a title for title match?
I don't think so, but maybe they'll do a non-title match with them too. That's a possibility.
Okay. I'd like to see that match.
A non-title match, I would love to see. You don't have to put the title on. You know, just have the NWA title up there and the AEW title up there, and just, you know, you could do a schmaz finish, but you could have a good match in the middle, which I'm fine with. Very much fine with.
Question from our good friend Ayaz Akhtar, the greatest kisser in the world. Do you see Big E getting a WWE or Universal title run this year?
I'm curious how they do these guys, right? Okay, so here's why. Big E, they were planning on doing a feud with Kofi. There was going to be a turn. It was discussed heavily, and everything was pointing that there will be a split in that group. And then they realized that the podcast is super successful, and these guys are so likable together,
right?
That they didn't want to do it, and I understand that. I think for Big E to get a singles title push, he needs to do something different with the character.
Okay.
The character needs to evolve a little bit more than a comedy act. Listen, they're probably the most successful comedy act this company has ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Longevity-wise?
Yeah.
What's a more successful comedy act with the longevity that they've had?
Second run of D-Generation X.
I guess that was a comedy run, yeah.
100% comedy run, dude.
But again, but it faded quick, right? Like, it wasn't like a 6-7 year run. These guys have been doing this for a long time and were given a gimmick that wouldn't get over. They got over based on their natural abilities, and it says a lot about them. So I think if Big E's going to get a singles run, he needs to change something a little bit. Dude, I posted that picture of him and Kofi in the Acolytes outfit.
Ooh.
Okay? Big E so looks good. So freaking menacing and so legit. Just in black pants, black tights, and that's it. You got to do something a little bit different with Big E. He's super likable, and I think he's this guy should have had some sort of push years ago. He's very talented, very good. I'd like to see what they do. I just don't know. I don't have an answer. I think there needs to be a tweak to the character. I don't know what that tweak would be.
The more serious, like a serious, angry Big E.
Love that.
Does so, it for Kofi.
He's sick of everybody's shit. Maybe he just does that. He's sick of the jokes.
I'd like that.
And he just sits on the Miz's face.
Whoa.
No.
Eric Prezano asks, what are the chances SmackDown gets canceled?
None. Slim to none, I should say. Slim to none. I don't see they're. What are you going to put in their time? First run live sports programming. That's what you want. Obviously, the ratings are not what they should be, but nobody's ratings are. I had a very interesting discussion with a friend of mine at Warner Media Group, and we were talking the other day. Actually, I brought this up to Matt Ryan from Catalyst Wrestling this morning. We were talking, and he said that a lot of the estimates for TV viewership were shot too high, and a lot of ads were sold for the third quarter, and everybody underperformed, except for news. You know, the news overperformed, but... A lot of these people are a little disappointed in ad sales. So for Fox to have something that's doing over 2 million every Friday and it's live programming, it's worth a lot of money to them. If that helps.
That's crazy. What are the chances? What will happen with Scarlett now that Cross is out? It's from Electrifying Radio.
Great question. I have no idea. I think you pull her from TV.
Package deal, right?
Yeah, package deal. Take her off. She's as important to the gimmick as he is, you know, for that overall package. So I would pull her.
Besides, as from Bachelor 3000, besides Rowan as an enforcer, who do you think is a big name that would be a great fit for the Dark Order?
Oh yeah, the Dark. Who? Aleister Black. No.
That'd be great.
In available or in the company? I don't know. Like I find the Colt Cabana thing bizarre. Like Colt's part of it, he got charmed. Yeah. Into joining. I don't know. That's a question I got to think about. Who do you think, Rich?
I don't know why I keep wanting to say Rusev.
In the Dark Order?
Like, I feel like him and Cabana would be a great tag team. I don't know why. I just feel like that's a tag team I want to watch. I feel like Rusev could do serious and he could do comedy.
Okay. I don't know how much I want to see it, but I'll give it a shot. I'm okay with it. What else do we have?
Have you heard Dave report Edge versus Orton has been scrapped because Orton returned?
Edge versus Orton has been scrapped because what?
Because of Roman coming back.
No, I haven't heard that Edge Orton is scrapped. I know that was part of the program, and that was part of the plan still going forward, because they still haven't had that match. But Edge is banged up. I mean, Edge is out. You know, how many months has it been? When was the last match he had? Which June, right?
The greatest wrestling match of all time, right?
No, he had another match after that.
Did he?
Oh, no. They had that street brawl, then the greatest match. So the greatest match was a month after... So May was the last match. June, July, August, September, October, November, December. I would expect him to return for Royal Rumble. Maybe a little before?
That would be cool. That would be cool if he came back at Rumble. But what's your main... Like, if he comes back at Rumble, Edge has to be the main event of Mania next year, right?
Yes. I would say he should be in a title picture next year. Listen, but we don't know, right? Like, who the hell knows what the hell's going on? That Edge return got spoiled. So much got screwed up. So much.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's see. I mean, it sucks that he got hurt, but yeah, he looked like a million bucks. The promos were awesome. It sucks that he had to come back in the COVID era of wrestling. What are Warner Media's thoughts? What are Warner Media's management thoughts on AEW, if you've heard anything?
They love it. Everybody's very, very happy with them, top to bottom. I don't think there's anybody in that company that's not happy.
They did over 700,000 views on a Saturday night show, and I think TNT didn't expect it, right? And they are just like, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so, you reminded me to talk about this. So, AEW's ratings for Saturday, that Saturday show that was supposed to start at 6, but it started at, like, 6:30. So, they had a decent lead-in. I think that game had, like, 1.6 million, 1.5 million viewers, which actually is not tremendous. I haven't seen the quarter hours. I've been wanting to see how many of those new people from the NBA game came over, but... You know, they lost some viewers because it wasn't a traditional night, and they gained some viewers. So I'm curious to see how this impacts him moving forward, because different night always gets you different eyeballs. So, right. So about 750,000, not bad at all. On a Saturday at 6:30 when you're going up against a NXT pay-per-view, not bad at all.
Exactly.
Very, yeah, not bad at all. They surprising.
It just seems like at this point, AEW for everybody involved is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
They're over delivering.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Is the Retribution group just a bunch of jobbers angry about being jobbers? Who knows?
I don't know. I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. I know that there's a possible giant angle coming on Sunday. So we'll see. This is the hot summer angle, guys. It's before, you know, Vince's thing about the hot summer angle has to happen before September 1st.
Right.
The big moment has to be right before September 1st. So we're right in line of Vince's booking from 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Oh, there was one thing we didn't mention from the notes, too, that Raw Underground was scrapped this week.
Yeah, why?
It was very strange.
Yeah. Maybe they realized. Maybe they pulled the plug. Was it
what
scrapped?
Do you think
I thought it, they didn't do it this week?
I don't remember.
Maybe they didn't.
I may have been partying too hard on Monday night.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't remember it at all. Someone will tell us. What if Big E's character becomes a serious BLM protester? They're not going to do that.
They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
WWE tends to skew away from... I feel like within the last few years, they tend to try to make a more quote-unquote evergreen
version,
product.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not really topical. You know, even the jokes they write are kind of old, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe 20 years from now.
maybe. Ryan says, if New Day breaks up, it would be the end of Xavier Woods and WWE. They love him. Xavier has been a tremendous crossover for a demo that wouldn't be interested in the product, and that's gamers.
Absolutely.
So they're very, I don't see him being scrapped. I see him actually, he's a great ambassador to the brand in that sense.
Here's like a really weird and funny thing that I put together, right? So Xavier has the Up Up Down Down show, right?
Yeah.
I think he told the office about it, and at one point he was like, hey, if I get told Triple H, if I get 2 million subscribers, you got to come on the show. And he did. He hit that number, and WWE is super happy with this guy, right?
Yeah.
He has the superstars on. He's promoting all this stuff. The New Day podcast is doing well. Conversely, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers have their figure podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And WWE passed on it, saying, we don't think there's any interest in this. And it's a podcast that is doing extremely well. Like, I think it's just sometimes they hit it, sometimes they don't, you know?
I don't think they see certain things, many things. They're in such a bubble where they don't understand. Like, they should have jumped on this podcasting bandwagon a long, long time ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know how long ago they were working on podcasts? When did the Austin podcast really take off? 2013, 2014? It became tremendous.
Like his own podcast.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to say around there, but it was, I mean, like, you got to go back to like one, it's Colt, then Jericho, then Austin, and then everybody under the sun who's a wrestler started doing their own pods.
So I was contacted by somebody there about 3 years ago to asking if I would want to be involved in some sort of production, right? For a new facility where they were going to do podcasts. And I said yes, and I never heard from anybody. And they decided that the podcast was no money in podcasting, there was no value in podcasting until recently, the last, I guess, year and a half, where they've now they're, you know, 5 years too late to do this. But their original plan was that a lot of their top talent would have a podcast. They would have their own podcast. So WWE would have, you know, like how we see with the New Day. The New Day would have a podcast. Edge and Christian would have a which they do have a podcast, but Edge and Christian would have had a podcast. Austin would have been under their umbrella. Jericho would have been under their umbrella. Flair and all these people, and they just couldn't get it together.
I think it's also like a matter of like, what is this? Like a radio show? I don't get this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Conrad and Bruce were on the WWE Network with something to wrestle with, and they They were not happy with it. They did not like how the show was. It was too honest.
I think it's also like, I feel like a lot of the stuff is a tough sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It is.
From I think the Bruce side too, with the impressions and like, just like the, I'm like from an oral standpoint, like sometimes he peaks that audio a little too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Chocolate Thunder. Who's going to main event with Roman next year at Mania? I don't know, but you know, that match, that Rock Roman match has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen. Like,
yeah.
That would be one of those gigantic missed opportunities in this company, which we've had a couple. Austin mm-hmm. Hogan was one. Austin Goldberg was another. I would say those are the two biggest missed opportunities we've ever seen in this company. We did kind of see Austin Hogan in a tag the Monday before WrestleMania 18. Mm-hmm. So I guess that we came close, but we never, ever got Austin Goldberg, and that match was the match. So knowing WWE, they may never do it, but I think they need that big attraction match to draw people in, because it's going to be a very uphill battle for them to get, you know, 20,000-30,000 people in these pay-per-view buildings again. That's not happening for a while.
Yeah
I think people's mindset is a little bit differently now, and I just lost my place with these questions.
It's okay. We got a correction, because like I think both of us may have checked out on the notes specifically that there was a Raw Underground.
Okay.
And Bobby Lashley beat up Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, there was a. Yeah, you're right. Now I remember it. Well, it's not mm-hmm. good if I don't remember it. Raw got Keith Lee. Listen. Who does SmackDown get?
Dominik Dijakovic.
Well, I think SmackDown got they got Matt Riddle.
And they got a big name. Roman. They have like a decent SmackDown has a good heavy hitting roster.
Yeah, they got AJ, they got Roman, they got mm-hmm. a big roster there.
Let's see what else. Who would be the best outcome as Retribution leader? I saw somebody in the chat say Tessa Blanchard. Would you be kind of interesting?
Nah, not Tessa. Tessa's close to signing though. I think she's almost done. I think she might be almost finished with WWE going over there. Listen, man, I think the biggest name would be CM Punk. 100%. The big, if you want to deliver on this, it would be CM Punk, right? If you want to deliver.
I don't know who else.
If you want to listen, I'm not saying it won't deliver, but if you want that big moment, it would have to be someone big. And mm-hmm. who do they have that's a big star that could be affiliated with these, you know, extremists? I would say it would be him.
I agree with that 100%, but come on, you know, are they going to be like, dude, look, we'll give you like $2 million for like a year, please.
Yeah. Just come do it. Dan says time to take Roman's vest off and let's see those beautiful Samoan chest. I agree. Mm-hmm. Take that vest off. What do you think of Dominic's performance at SummerSlam, Rich?
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Good job.
Great. He's great. Dude's great. Sami Zayn could be a good leader for Retribution. Daniel Bryan, that'd be good. Chocolate Thunder asks, will Hangman Page go heel on Kenny? I don't think so. I think Kenny put him up to it, and I think they're turning on the Bucks.
Oh, man, that's actually something I never considered, and I love it. If Kenny and him are in on this together to turn on the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kenny's been the one turning heel, right? Isn't that the story that we've seen? Is that Kenny's kind of losing his mind? He's getting deranged?
He's getting deranged. And also, I really enjoyed the fractured mirror with the Hangman stuff last night.
Yeah.
Because it seems like Hangman is torn between something. And I bet you the reveal is Kenny saying, like, yo, do this. Like, screw the Bucks. And then we'll beat FTR. And then whatever, you know?
What if it was to protect the Bucks because FTR is going to kick their ass? Would have killed them.
Ooh.
And he did it to protect them from being, you know, brutalized in the ring by FTR.
It was good stuff, man.
Yeah, it was interesting to see what happens.
Ayaz Akhtar knows who the Retribution leader is.
Oh, who?
Mansoor.
Mansoor is the leader?
The undefeated Mansoor.
The undefeated the king of Saudi Arabia, Mansoor. Mm-hmm. The biggest pop of all time in that building, Mansoor. Love it. Do you think WWE saw the NXT numbers and decided to change the nights? No. The conversation has been coming from the USA side to change the night, not WWE. If WWE had it their way, they'd stay on the same night moving forward. But they're getting a little bit of pressure to consider changing the night. Do you think Roman is a tweener now? No, Roman is a babyface. I'm shocked that so many people saw this as a heel turn. I thought it was an ultimate babyface thing. I think Braun Strowman is a big dummy. And I think Bray's is a monster heel. And this guy came out and beat the crap out of both of them.
I agree 110%. Do you think MJF name-dropping Tully Blanchard was a horseman tease?
I don't know.
Maybe. He also name-dropped Sandman and Onita. I don't think they're showing up.
Dude, I would love... Can you imagine Sandman and Onita showing up?
Oh, forget it. Helping Mox out? Like, Mox is, like, weird ragtag. And New Jack. He name-dropped New Jack. Like,
how many of those people have no clue who Onita is? I would imagine most people that were watching had no clue.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's a smart audience, right? But
it's a younger audience.
Who's really into 90s... hardcore deathmatch style Japanese wrestling.
There's a very small amount of us left that are still watching wrestling. All right, what else do we have?
Will Finn or Ciampa win the NXT title? Yes, one of them will. Or it could be Gargano or Adam Cole.
I'll say one of them will. That's what I'll say. One of them.
Do you see Rey and Dominic winning the tag titles?
Yeah. I don't want to see it. I'm kind of tired of that, of Rey and Dominic. Again, WWE mishandled Rey so heavily. But, you know, here's a question for you. Why do they screw up these legend returns? Why? And how? Like, Kurt Angle is one of the best examples of screwing up a legendary return. This guy should have been used sparingly. Used to show off how great he is, and then you finally have him in a big match where he loses to somebody on his way out. But they had this guy lose week after week, and he ended up losing to someone that didn't give any rub. There was no rub losing to Baron Corbin.
Except for the touting of him saying, "I retired Kurt Angle for like the next 10 years." Yeah, Much like the Brock Lesnar promo of retiring, breaking the Undertaker streak, you know?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Brock Lesnar ended up being their top guy. Baron Corbin is not there. That's not the plan. So if you were going to do that, have him lose to the guy that's the next big name.
The next big thing. I think the Kurt Angle thing and the Ray thing are handled the way they are because these are legends that can still go, that can still put guys over. Yeah. Right. Without hurting. I think that's what they want. You know, it's the ageist Vince McMahon thing saying like, You're one of the old timers. Why don't you put this new guy over? Why don't you put this guy over? The interesting thing is they don't use Goldberg in that capacity.
No, Goldberg's used like the Undertaker.
Right.
Well, I also think, you know, it says a lot though, right? About where they fall. Like Sting was used great.
Sure.
You know, they used him twice, but he was still given this, you know, special character ability.
Yes.
You know, like he had that match with Rollins was actually a pretty decent match until he got really hurt. I don't blame anybody for that match, but there was a lot that they were going to do with this guy. There was a tremendous amount that we're going to do with this guy, and I truly believe that match was going to lead to Undertaker and him if he did not get hurt.
It's Stang.
What if Mike and Maria Kanellis are the leaders of Retribution? That would be the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be absolutely terrible. All right. We got a lot of questions. So do you want to do rapid fire, Rich? You just fire.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right. Does the Undertaker wander out of the retirement home and show up at Survivor Series? No.
I think he'll show up again. I don't know when.
Who will be in the Four Horsemen now that both Kenny and Paige turn on the Bucks? Because I had Paige joining. Now I'm not so sure. It's going to be FTR. And I don't want to say MJF as the Flair. I think Cody would be better suited for some reason, you know? But let's say FTR, Hangman, MJF as like your new weird horseman.
Okay.
Or Wardlow. Cool, Wardlow, MJF, FTR. You know, because okay, Wardlow, I think, is part of the package of with MJF, right? He's the Barry Windham.
He is the Barry Windham, yeah. Go ahead.
What if somebody calls Andrew out for the person's shirt who he's wearing?
Marty? Call him out in what way?
Or somebody calls you out for the shirt that you're wearing.
Oh, why would I?
I don't know.
The shirt. It's a shirt.
People are forgetting that Sting tapped out to Big Show on a Raw. Yeah, I forgot about that completely.
Yeah, it was a tag match, right? Wasn't it Sting and... was it a singles match or was it a tag match?
I thought it was...
Oh, maybe it is a singles match. It was in 2015. I thought John Cena was involved in this match.
I just like the idea of Mansoor being the leader of Retribution.
Yeah, Mansoor as the leader of Retribution is the best. All right, mm-hmm. Let's see. What else do we have here? And then we got to wrap it up. Do you see Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE title at WrestleMania 37, I'm assuming? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be put in any title picture right now. Everything is in the air because they mm-hmm. need to, once they are in front of an audience, which I'm being told now November, early November will be when they'll be in front of an audience. They're going to do it big.
They're
going to do it very big. And I think everything is going to change once that happens. I think once you have this ability to be in front of an audience, their booking philosophy changes. And we'll start seeing how they're going to push everybody. That's okay. How I see it. Any other questions? Very fast. Will Brock Lesnar be back for Mania? Yes. Go ahead, Rich.
We got one last one. Okay. Do you see Wade Barrett becoming a full-time announcer for NXT?
I see Wade Barrett coming back in some capacity. I don't know what. He's very
leader
good.
Retribution. Yeah, he's great.
He's good. Where's Nigel? Actually,
Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah.
Do you think he's stuck in England?
Is he? I don't know.
I have no idea where the guy lives. You know where the guy lives?
Nigel's been missing too. And then we're hearing, I think Mauro's back next week. There was a family emergency, so Mauro's back next week for TV. I'm just going over very quickly if we had any more questions. AW just announced. AEW just announced that next week's AEW Dynamite and All I will both be on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for those interested to attend. I'm curious if they're going to slowly raise the capacity. I know they're running 10% right now, which is about 700 people. I think it was a little bit under that, but I'm curious to see if they do like 1,000 for the pay-per-view or 1,200 for the pay-per-view.
That would be cool. I mean, like, it was loud yesterday, and I think they did a good job with it, you know, but you can tell how the wrestlers really enjoyed the fact that there were people there.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, listen, the COVID numbers are doing way better. Florida is improving. California is improving. I think New York had one of the lowest, had a new state record for low infection rate. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm hoping that this slowly. Listen, man, whatever happens, right? We got to also remember. We're going to have events, right? Football's coming back. I know that Miami's going to be running 14,000 people in their building. A lot of these buildings are going to be filled with tens of thousands of people, or at least 10,000. Yeah. Numbers are going to go up. People are going to get sick with this. It's going to spread. But if you could control that and make it almost, if you know, with treatment and with everything else, if you could turn this into the flu, we're in a way better situation.
Yes.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm being very optimistic. I'm very positive about this. It was great to see a crowd there. I'm hoping WWE gets a crowd soon, and we could do this nice and safely. Is that a nice political answer?
That's great. It was right down the middle. Of course you want everybody to be safe. You don't want anybody to get sick.
No, I don't. And I think, you know, when there is a discussion about having live attendance, I think a lot of people think you're on the side. If you say, like, no, I do want people being back in these buildings, people think, like, oh, well, you're obviously denying that COVID is serious. No, COVID is serious. People have died. Many people have died. Many people have gotten sick. Many people are still getting sick. But if we could do this in a nice, safe way and we could continue on with life, that's the way to do it. We have to do this in a manner that works. Is if that is having 10,000 people in a building that normally seats 70,000, I don't know yet. Maybe it's going to be 5,000.
Right, right. There's got to be a solution.
There's got to be a solution, so we'll figure it out.
But again, I always say it's the weirdo factors, because then there could be that guy with no mask, takes it off in the middle of the show, just starts coughing. He's picking his ass. He's spitting at people. Dude, people, you know?
I mean, we've gone to wrestling shows, man. I got to tell you, one of the reasons why I hate going to WWE shows is because there's too many people there.
Well, yeah,
it's too many people. It's gross. People don't know how to behave. Everybody thinks that because they're in an audience, they can yell and scream whatever they want. And we've had this discussion before where people have called us out and saying it's their right to say whatever they want. No, it's not. You know what? There's a difference between having your right for free speech and being an asshole. It's not right. Free speech when you're screaming when there's a 6-year-old in front of you and you're screaming all this vulgarity towards people that are hundreds of feet away from you that will never hear it. That's you not understanding how to behave at the end of the day. So
it's called being a douche.
It's being a douche. So a lot of people are douches. So we are going to have problems. There are going to be people in these audiences that are going to not do what they're supposed to. People are going to single them out, but let's not let that ruin it for everybody else. That's my point. You know, people are going to be jerks. You could deal with that, but don't ruin it for everybody else.
Agreed. I want to see Jonathan Photoshop sleeves on you.
No.
And
no.
Go ahead.
No, I don't allow it.
And I want to see Jonathan Photoshop you right now with Aquaman tribal tattoos.
Oh, I'll take that.
The whole Jason Momoa package.
The Jason Momoa package
palpitations right now.
Yeah. heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
When will WWE NXT UK return? I was told sometime in September. At the middle of September, late September, they're filming?
I'm going to say November, dude.
November? I could have sworn I had seen late September, and that's one of the reasons why Imperium left. They went back. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but that's just what's in my head right now. One more question, guys. One more, and that's it. Send it. Whatever the next question is, you got it. And then we're wrapping it up.
Oh, boy. What else you got going on today?
I got to go to my father-in-law's birthday party.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yep. I got to go to Sam's.
Does Cody come back? Cool. Does Cody come back after All Out with the new horseman? This guy's really... Chocolate Thunder. You're very obsessed with the horseman.
He loves the
horseman,
man.
Does Cody come back after All Out with the new horseman and take on Dark Order? No.
I don't know. I don't know what they do with him. I loved the beatdown of Cody. I thought that was so good. The commentary did a great job at pushing how he's only lost, you know, he's like 8-19-1. He's been unstoppable, and he was a little bit arrogant coming into the match. He felt a little bit comfortable, and he totally got wrecked, much like a big time prize fighter, right? Longtime champion, gets a little bit cocky. He doesn't train as hard. He's been running amok of all these indie guys, guys that are below him. And now all of a sudden, he got his ass handed to him. It was a one-sided 5-minute fight. It was done so well. That told such a great story. And for him to step away for a little bit keeps it super fresh. Rocky III, man. It was the Rocky III gimmick.
Yes. Bob Hazelwood has one last question. Why don't you read it?
Is Rich a better kisser than Andrew? So I would say Rich is more sensual.
He's
tons of tongue with Rich. Tons.
Listen, if you want to effing come by the studio one day,
you'll
find out.
All right, guys, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Truly appreciate each and every one of you tuning in every week for the show, tuning in live, and of course, downloading the podcast. Podcast is available everywhere podcasts are available. If you haven't already, do us a favor. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We're on our way to 5,000 subscribers here on YouTube.
Yeah.
Also, subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, a positive review, if you can, on iTunes or anywhere else where you can leave a review of the podcast. It helps us out tremendously when you do that. And you can follow Rich, BTC Rich on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian, Matt Men Podcast on Twitter, Matt Men Podcast on Facebook, and of course on Instagram, Matt Men Podcast on Instagram. You can follow us there as well. Until next time, take care.